for the In the Conversation podcast with Funny Man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. We're here deep in, what's this, the third quarter, end of the second quarter. Deep into August, Black History Year. We still going strong, still out here thriving. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Making strides. You know what I mean? I just like that, making strides. That's like you're really doing big things. Not taking steps, we making strides. That's like something. What's good with you, man? How you doing?
Man, everything's good. I'm out here making strides. Shit.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
What it's about.
Big strides. Big strides.
There you go. Shit. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Word.
Oh man, what's going on? What's good? What's the how's the A?
The A is hot today. It's hot. You know what I'm saying? I had a couple of pool days, you know, during the week with my daughter. Okay. Wanted to get out there and in the pool. So that was refreshing.
Can y'all swim? Can you swim? Can your daughter swim? Can your family swim?
Yeah, she hasn't gotten there yet. Okay. You know, but everybody else could swim. I grew up swimming, so so you know, water is actually weird that I don't get in the water as much anymore, because you know, of course, growing up, you're in the water every damn it. You're trying to be in the water every day, you know, mm-hmm. as a kid, and then as you get older, you know, anytime you're in Miami, you're around some water, you usually mm-hmm. find your way to it and in it. But as you get older, even though I get to the water, I don't necessarily get in it often. You know what I mean? So when you're in it now, it feels kind of weird. Like, oh, okay, this is water. I'm off right. balance a little bit, you know, because it used to feel second nature. Now it feels like, oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? And then you also, when you get by that ocean, be like, nigga, this water is dangerous.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When you know better. You know what I'm saying? When you know better. As a kid, you just go jump right in. Woof. It's nothing. Now you look at that big body of water, especially like when you're on an island or something, and you realize that you're surrounded by this shit. It's right. like, nigga, this shit could be dangerous. Motherfuckers actually used to get on a boat and just trust it and say, we out. You know what I'm saying? Set the sails and go. That's pretty bold. That's a bold thing to do. Thinking about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As
you
safe
to be bold,
right? Safe as we travel now. Oh, we gonna get a plane. We got an itinerary. We know where we going. You know what time we gonna get there?
GPS. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Them motherfuckers was just out there looking at the stars. Like, okay, we going the right direction.
Yeah. Might be going in the wrong direction for days.
You know what I'm saying? It's dark out that bitch. Ain't no street lights. Ain't no, yeah. You know what I'm saying? No lanes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If I stay in my lane, I'm going to be good. You just out there on this big, you know, intimidating body of water. You know? Shit live up under it. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Don't give a fuck nothing about your life. This is
not in the least. You know not what I'm in saying? The least. And we ain't even talk about the shit that be under there. You know, like
that's what I'm
that's
saying.
A whole nother thing.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like you gotta respect that water, man. Once you out there looking at it, like especially it's night and the water just doing what water do, it ain't all pretty and blue looking like it is in the day. Shit just dark.
Yeah.
That shit make you respect how small you are in this world.
It'll put things in perspective, that's for sure. Definitely put things in perspective, especially when you go in the ocean or even in the deep part of the pool to where you can't feel anything under mm-hmm. your feet. That's when you're like, okay, we are serious here. This is, you need a skill. You need to really know what you're doing. I never learned how to swim.
Oh,
never
nah.
learned how to swim. Nah. Growing up, a couple things. One, the pool. It was interesting. The pool could be setting yourself up for failure mm-hmm. at the pool. There was a lot of terrorism at the pool, especially as a young cat. You know what I mean? Like, there was, well, it was always the threat that somebody could steal your shit when you was in the water.
Right.
So you needed to have your joint tucked away, or if you had the little, the quarter for the what you call it, for the locker. If there was lockers, then that was cool. Then it was cats that would try to, like, dunk you, like, hold your ass up underwater for mad long. You know what I mean? You feel like you're going to drown type shit. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, and that's probably just the end of the tip, because there was one time I was in South Carolina where I thought I was going to drown. I think I talked about this before.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
not. I thought I was going to drown. I was on one of these little floaties. I might have been 8 or 9 or something like that. I was on one of the floaties, relaxing, living life, just chilling. Mm-hmm. Like, I like a good floaty. I like to, you know what I mean? You feel good about life. You know what I mean? Go with the flow. There's some security there. The floaty somehow got flipped over. Maybe because one of my cousins did it. I'm not positive. But all I know is I'm underwater now and I can't swim. That was the first thing that came to me. It's like, oh shit, I'm underwater. I can't swim. And I'm trying to push the floaty, but there's a seal. Like, there's a water seal, so the floaty ain't moving.
Mm.
And I am bugging. And I get from under the floaty. And I'm like, oh, I'm wilding. And somebody's like, stand up. And I said, stand up. And I just stood up and I was good. But you could not tell me I wasn't about to die. So I think what kills me with the water, I need to learn how to swim in my adult years and get over my ego and not being able to swim as an adult. Like, I've been trying to learn how to swim kind of, like, on the low. But, you know, I think one of the things, oh, and there's other people, you know, people used to piss and sometimes shit in the water. So that was a whole other thing. Because when you go under the water and it get in your nose or get in your mouth or whatever, it would, like, that would fuck me up a little bit. But I realized you have to be cool with just letting go. Because you got to learn how to float. Got to learn how to trust yourself in the water. Like, I'm good for, this is what I do still. Like, I go as deep as I could feel, you know, something under my feet. But what I do is I kind of like walk swim. Like, I'm walking, but you wouldn't know. So on top, I'm looking like I'm swimming, but I ain't doing nothing but walking around. But long story short, I do love the water. I wish every time I get close to the water, I'm like, damn, I need to learn how to swim. Because I love the water. I love going to, like, to the ocean or whatever. I like being on the coast. And, like, you know what I mean? Like you said, you feel, it feels way bigger than you. Like, you really, that's one of the moments where you really, you feel like there's a God. You know what I'm saying? Like, this puts things in perspective. But yeah, man. Shout out to the swimmers.
Yes, sir. Now, anytime I got to go think, I'm headed to some water, a body of water, not no lake, but you know what I'm saying? Like ocean water.
Yeah.
at least the bay.
Right. Yeah. Ocean's nice.
Yeah. But, you know, growing up, you know, that, they put you in swim class and the first day of swim class is treading water. And they didn't fuck with the shallow end. They put you right in the deep and teach you how to tread water. And that was a, you know what I'm saying, now looking back, that was a good skill to learn first, because no matter where you at in the water, you know, because you've learned how to tread, that you know how to get to the top and stay up there, you know what I'm saying, long enough to at least get your bearings. But the longer you can tread water, you know what I mean, the more you'll be confident in deep water. Because it's like, you go in, no matter how deep it is, your mission is to get to the top. And, you know, again, relax. And, you know, you kick your head in that treading water type of way, you're gonna stay at it. That'll keep you on top of the water.
It's like riding a bike, right? Kind of like.
Yeah, yeah. So paddling? kicking your legs sideways though, and then then your arm. You know, it's like riding a bike, but if your pedals was, you know what I'm saying, cock wide. You know what I'm saying? Right, you're like, right, oh right, shit, right. These pedals are a little wide out. And then you do your arms like in that, you know, like you grabbing water. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, like doggy paddling a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, but you got to be grabbing it, not on top, like okay. splashing gotcha. On top from side, gotcha. Like coming in. Like if you taking your arms and you trying to grab the water in between two hands. So you gotcha. Go out wide, poof, bring it in, wide, bring it in. And, you know, and you're kicking your legs and you're going to be on top of the water. So if you ever get in trouble, you just start treading. And then you...
Treading and praying.
The worst thing in the water is to panic.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree on that. I've definitely had some panic moments in that water. But fortunately, still here. I saw a while back Dame Dash, he had his newborn, put his newborn in the water like it was to, like teaching his newborn how to swim. The newborn's like, mm-hmm. like a newborn. Mm-hmm. And there's like a drill that they do. They have somebody come to their pool. There's a drill that they do where they just put the baby in the water
mm-hmm.
and lay the baby like kind of on the back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And don't touch the baby for like 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And like if the baby turn over, the baby has to kind of figure out how to get back to its, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it looks crazy, they'll have to stop it. But if the baby can turn over and the baby can, like, basically, I guess, tread water or stay buoyant.
They float.
For the mm-hmm. 3 minutes, they qualify for something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was, and they put the whole shit on there. Like, you could watch it. It was kind of crazy because there was a moment where it was getting a little hairy.
Right.
Like, somebody save that baby.
Nah.
You know what I mean? But,
they didn't pay. They say it's the best time to teach them because they still remember being in the water in the womb.
Yeah.
So, I've seen it a lot. And a lot of, you know, they put them in. A lot of times the baby turn on their back by themselves, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
And then they just be floating there like, it look wild. Like
no
a little like a little balloon. I've been here. What the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
Shit. Oh, man. Just when you get older and you don't remember the water. They get in that shit is foreign.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
That's crazy. That's cool though. Y'all swimming though. You know, a lot of times when I see the pools seem to be like more or less backdrops now. You know what I mean? Like you don't really see people swimming. Like there's a difference between a swimming pool and a pool. There's a pool where it's like that's for the gram, that's to get your looks off, you know what I mean? Then there's a swimming pool where okay, it's right. understood. Oh, people swim in here. This is utilized.
Right.
That's good.
Now most of these newfangled pools is you know like the pool in this complex where I'm at in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It looks like a big ass pool. It's big. You know what I'm saying? It's wide. But then half of it is kind of like just you know. An area where you could just walk on top of, like, it's like maybe 12 inches of water, maybe. Okay. And then they got these little benches in the water where you could sunbathe, but you, like, kind of by the water. You in the middle of the water, but it's not really on you.
Right.
So that's, like, half of the pool. But then the other half is, like, 4 feet. I'm thinking 3 feet 6 is the highest it go. So
3.6 inches?
No, three feet six inches. Yeah, wow. So it's just a big ass shallow end,
right.
You can, right. You know, I've swam in it. You know what I'm saying? Like you go underwater and go right. to the other side of shit, but you know it ain't like you ain't diving and doing no real pool activities. It's really you know what I'm saying to say we got a pool. Get yourself get wet, cool off. Do it for the gram. You know what I'm saying? And that's aesthetic. That.
That's wild. That's interesting. Pools and I don't know if you've seen any pools. But I was watching this show, HBO Max, called Sweet Life.
Mm-hmm.
Like a reality show, kind of. Like a black reality show. I'm not even a reality show kind of cat. It's a Issa Rae put it together, but it's basically like about like a group of like 20 somethings, mostly 25 year olds from LA. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And they just how they living. And mm-hmm. one of the things that HBO Max does now is they drop, when they premiere a series, they'll drop like 3 episodes at a clip, sometimes even more. So it's not just one episode. So you could kind of little do a light binge and be all in it. And so I was checking it out, and it was interesting. It was actually it was kind of cool. It's just one. I think Issa Rae. I know somebody from LA listening to this is gonna be like, "Nigga, you bugging." I think Issa Rae is might have taken the baton from, you know, John Singleton when it comes to showing black LA. You know what I mean? Now, obviously, way less trauma. And I'm sure there's people that have done it over the years, because shout out to The Wood. I see, like, Showtime is greenlit TV show based on the movie The Wood. I'm not sure who did The Wood, but obviously that's based on Inglewood. You know, between Insecure and that Sweet Life thing and all the, you know, other little side projects he's had, there's definitely like this lens into black LA where you kind of see, you know, the how the goings on, you know what I'm saying? Like the, or at least a certain perspective, you know what I mean? You're seeing how, you know, these young kids, these young people are kind of living life like at the beginning of their adult life, trying to make it, you know what I mean, like the aspiration of it all, hanging out, being, you know what I mean, little kickbacks and shit like that, or where they go to eat, which I feel like is like a reality show staple, but it was kind of cool to see certain places that I never seen before, you know what I mean. I found myself rewinding. I seen they went to one spot, they put these chicken wings on the table. I was like, oh, shit. I had to rewind to see where that was at. Add that to the Yelp app. You know what I mean? But it's cool, man. It just shows, like, the glory of being 25. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, just where it's so much, you know, like, there's so much potential. There's so much time on the clock. But at the same time, so much drama to define yourself, so much urgency to make it. You know what I mean? Like, it's an interesting place in life. But you know, and then on top of that, you know, the feel of it is definitely about vibes, good vibes only. You know what I mean? Saging. You know what I mean? The women, every other word, period. You know what I mean? All of that, that type of shit. Seeing the dating, you know what I mean, like the like the little dating circles, and the, you know, I've gotten the aspiration of it all, like, you know, we gotta get this, we about legacy, we all in this together, you know, that whole camaraderie of when y'all all outside together, and then the drama of it all, like when there is a problem, and you know, you also see how men and women handle things differently when it comes to like interpersonal relationships. You know what I'm saying? Like, so there's a little bit of drama. It was pretty good. It was a little bit of drama. There was some stunting going on. It was cool to see. You know what I'm saying? Real simple shit. But you know, like,
what's the basis of the reality? Like,
so the reality of it all is these are actual kids. These are actual people. You know what I mean? Actual LA late natives and transplants. You know what I mean? I think it centers around maybe a core of 5. I think one, Thailand, Brianna, Amanda, what's the cat's name? PJ, Jordan, Gerard or something like that. So basically, like, they're all doing their thing. So one, Thailand, she's like a event producer. You know what I mean? She's the one that does like the events and stuff like that. And it hasn't all the way fleshed out. It's only been 3 episodes. So like, the girl Brianna, she's from Michigan, but she came out to LA because one of her friends lives in LA. So that brought her out there. Then the dude Jordan, he has a clothing brand. called Hype Land that he's trying to get popping off, or is popping off, actually. Then there's the kid PJ. I think it's PJ or JP. He's like a artist manager. He's still kind of, he's still on the bubble because we haven't even seen his artist yet, but he's managing an artist. Right. You know what I mean? You know he's in the struggle because at one point he's in the whip with Brianna and he's driving a Honda and like I guess his little visor, it just keeps falling. And he got it duct taped, but the duct tape is not, it's not secure, so it just keeps falling like every couple seconds. And you can tell it's annoying. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, but this, it's the elephant in the room, like, ah, man, you need more duct tape, that type of shit. But later on, when they go out to Palm Springs to celebrate Amanda's birthday, the cat go ahead and rent a McLaren. He pull up in the McLaren. That shit is hilarious. But, like, yeah, it's just, you know, so it's just like how they all, some, this person dates this person or used to date that person, and now they dating that person, but this person had a relationship with them. So there's, like, so, like, Brianna and her homegirl. Brianna's a homegirl that was there before. I think her name is Becky. Rebecca, she used to date somebody. Then Brianna came to town, wound up dating the same person, and allegedly didn't know. So there was a little beef because they go back and they should have known because they friends or whatever. They kind of got that sorted out. Mm-hmm. This other cat got feelings for Brianna, but he not really putting it out there. So he's actually dating. This is the kid JP. He's dating or PJ, I forget the kid's name, but he's dating Becky or trying to date or still had a little thing with Becky. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But then when he pull up in the McLaren, he comes through with a whole nother girl. It's a girl named Miami. You know what I mean? They had jokes about her. Like, who is that? What's her name? Tallahassee? You know, some old wild catty shit. You know what I'm saying? But it's all of the drama that used to be some shit. You know, when you're younger, like all of that. It's my birthday. It's supposed to be about me. And you coming up, pulling up with this fucking random girl. Who is this? Da 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 da. Y'all was supposed to all have this same type of dress code because this is the vibe. It's all about the vibes. You know what I mean? We don't want to disturb the vibes. You know what I mean? Right, like they go into like a little crystal store. They start crying. The ladies coming through. I heard you talking about your love life. We got crystals for that. Like it's all, you know, again, we talk about the soul, the self-care thing is in full bloom right now. So it's a lot of that.
Tapping into the, you know, the wellness Twitter.
All that wellness, all of that.
Yeah, it was in Law of Attraction Twitter.
Law of Attraction, and then there's, you know, there's also regular ass attraction where, you know what I mean, you attracted somebody, but you're afraid to play yourself. So you might not all the way put yourself out there, or if you feel like you're putting yourself out there and it's not being reciprocated, you feel stupid, and that becomes a problem. So, you know, it's a lot of that at this moment. And, you know, a lot of the reality TV tropes. We going to eat, we at the gym, we having drinks, we going to get our hair done. You know what I mean? But it's black.
I'm looking at the trailer. The trailer's kind of been on a loop since you've been talking. So I'm looking at the trailer now. You know, the thing like with reality shows is that they're produced. You know what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah.
So you know, I'm looking at all these setups, and they, you know, they on the yacht. I saw the McLaren. You know what I'm saying? Then I see the restaurants and the events with, you know what I'm saying? So everything looks beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Life is beautiful.
A lot of sheen. Yeah.
So it's like a reality show that puts black people in these shiny scenarios and see how it plays out from a young cosmopolitan perspective. That's what I'm seeing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Which is exactly what it is. Which is cool because so far, nobody threw hands, nobody threw a drink, and hopefully there's none of that. You know what I mean? Right. It feels more aspirational, a little upscale. You know how it is. You know how the desire to be upscale is like really popping when you're early 20s. You know what I'm saying? You almost want to be retired by 25.
And that's almost the expectation.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Shit, I need to be done by 30, goddamn
right,
shit.
Right. So it's a lot of that type of vibe. But it's done well. You know what I mean? It's good. It goes back to what we talk about, a lot of frolicking. You know what I'm saying? A lot of frolic culture.
And you know, and it's needed, you know what I'm saying? To that perspective is needed. And I understand where Issa places her positioning in that mm-hmm, conversation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a needed thing. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, they only show us in certain kind of scenarios. And so right. to show the other side of it, you know what I mean? Or to jump in the same pool, but showing this perspective of that pool, I think is always a necessary step. You know what I mean? Like people always want media to correct itself immediately in one fell swoop, and it don't really work like that. You know what I'm saying? You gotta kind of, all right, if this where we at, how can we take the next step? And then before you know it, it's something totally different.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. It's very, reminds me a lot of like on the first, and I don't know if it's named after it or whatever, but they definitely play the Frank Ocean Sweet Life record, mm-hmm. you know, and that definitely, like, that's the tone, or even Super Rich Kids. Not to say that they all rich, but you know, like the aspiration vibe of it all. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, it's cool, though. It's something to see. You know what I'm saying? Something, you know, it's real, it's easy listening, you know what I mean? But you know, you're watching it. Real palatable.
Word.
Check that out. It's a good chaser from Snowfall.
Ah, I don't know. You doing a whole lot with this Sweet Life.
yeah.
Say, this is the 2021 John Singleton nickel.
Chase down
your Snowfall. You know what I'm saying, son?
Yeah,
I know what you're saying. I'm just fucking with you.
You know what I mean. It's the opposite of all of that. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
And it should be an opposite. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. It should be all of these voices. So you could, you know, you could look at the black culture or the black universe as something more than just one thing. You know? And I think that's more the problem than anything. We always look at black culture as one particular thing and one thing only. You know what I'm saying? If you're not doing that, then you're trying to act white. Or you know what I mean? Or it's not real.
Right.
And so to have these options and have the different voices, it matters. It matters out here. You know what I mean? And it's
you're
like.
Muffled.
Am I?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hold on. I'm good. Hello.
Okay.
Yeah, so to have these different voices is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's something else to see. You know what I'm saying? So that's cool.
Because all this shit is all these perspectives are out here. You know what I mean? And a lot of times you don't see, like, especially when you're young, you coming up, you don't see all these different perspectives. You only see your world. You know, and then say you go to college or the military and you start meeting people from different places and all this kind of shit. You realize, oh, shit, there's a different kind of black people out here. You know what I'm saying? Like when I went to college, I was like, damn, I didn't even know it was this many kind of black people.
Yeah.
I knew about three or four. But this right here, this is different. You know what I mean? And we don't get to see a wide range of black people to learn from or to grow from or just to see ourselves, you know what I mean? But it's always the communication of, okay, this is possible. Oh, these things go on. You can get down like this too. And without that, you think I can only do the shit that I know and that I see. And
right.
you know, One thing I have, one problem I have with reality TV and just, you know, media in general, is they only really give us 3-4 locations to vibe from. You know what I'm saying? Club, restaurant, church, work, and shit. You know what I'm saying? Where else they put us on TV?
I'm trying to think about how many times I see the church. Yeah, it's definitely the club. It's some drinks.
Mm-hmm. It's restaurant.
Restaurant. It's the, where else? The gym sometimes.
Uh-huh. And that's newfangled.
Yeah. I'm trying to think where they, I don't watch, you know, I don't really get into, I stopped watching reality TV.
I mean, not just reality TV, in media in general, you know what I'm saying? Right. In movies, in fucking TV.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You at the crib, the club, you know what I'm saying? The restaurant, if you trying to get jiggy with it.
Coffee shop.
Church, more recently the coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And that's what we model. When you're young, you modeling, okay, boom, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. And especially in a city like Atlanta, you see how it all play out. Uh-huh. Yeah. You see, you go in the restaurant, you see a group of women, 50, 52 years old, they rolling together. You know what I'm saying? 5, 6, boom. To get into the fly restaurant. That shit look just like TV. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you go to the club, it look just like the videos. You know what I'm saying? It's all like, boom, this is the things we do. And when you introduce something different, people are like, I don't know if I'm gonna do that. You know? But right. Yeah. But you know, it's all like it's other things, you know what I'm saying? And even if, and my thing is, my philosophy on it is, and I haven't I'm talking shit, but I haven't executed this. But you know,
I'm trying to think since where I got the mic. Yeah, but go ahead, get your since I got the mic.
You know what I'm saying? I think, you know what I'm saying, like we need like a Norman Rockwell look of what can be done. You know what I'm saying? Right. Because we don't actually collectively know all the shit. Just like you, like, I don't know all the shit to do. But if somebody showed me in a scenario, then I could probably get down with that shit. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of recreational shit is not assigned to black people. We don't too much fuck with that shit. Not that it's not black people that do. I mean, not that it's black people that don't, that do fuck with it, because it is. There's plenty of them that hike and camp and do all that shit. We just don't see them. And nobody talks about it and nobody shows it. So we almost act like it don't exist. Like, so I just think there should be images of us doing shit that we don't normally do, that we might not do. Just to show you, okay, this is how you would look doing some shit like this.
Expand the scope a little bit.
Yeah, just expand the scope. Like, you know, it ain't always gotta be the restaurant, the club. You know what I'm saying? The after hours restaurant, and then church in the morning. There's a whole nother weekend that can be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Definitely some more shit. Go bowling. Go.
Right. I mean, there's people that do. There's black people that do go bowling.
Black people do everything. You know what I mean? Like, this is to be honest. Black people do everything. Right. We might not be documented doing everything. But if there's anything to do outside of being white, black people do it. You know what I'm saying? We might not see proof all the time, but it ain't nothing that's going uncovered at this point.
Right.
It's funny that you say that. You know, I got a bunch of old ass Ebony magazine. I told you at my grandparents' apartment. I got a bunch of old Ebony magazine. You know, I'm a hoarder, so I took a little payload of these.
I think people need to realize that when he say he's a hoarder, it's not the TV version of
it's
hoarder.
It's not the nasty one. Yeah, I always like that. I got to qualify that. It's not like, I guess maybe you've been hearing about that.
The nigga over there living down there minimalistic and shit, talking about he a hoarder.
Yeah, I just, I just like keep it. I hold on to certain shit, but it's not. Yeah, there's no dead cats and no shit like that. It's, you know what I mean? There's no plates under the couch. None of that. No,
I ain't want them to look at you differently.
Yeah. I guess you got to qualify.
Because it ain't like that.
Yeah. So I got a bunch of old Ebony magazines from like the 80s to the 90s or whatever. And, you know, speaking of aspiration, speaking of like seeing people in different scenarios or whatever, or lifestyle, you know, it's funny now there aren't any more tobacco ads. Mm-hmm. But tobacco ads used to always try to come across with that real upscale weed tobacco ads and, you know, good Jerry Curl ads. Mm-hmm. But a good tobacco ad to have you at the tennis court, you and your lady with the matching rackets. No cigarettes in sight, but it's a cigarette ad for sure.
Right.
But
it's
your, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just like Code 45. You're right. Mm-hmm. Just Billy D in a classy hotel room, velvet goddamn curtains and shit.
Right. Yeah, I saw one Jerry Curl. It was Jerry Curl under the Jerry Curl genre, but it was called Cosmopolitan Curl. I love that shit.
Oh, yeah, Cosmo Curl. Yeah, I heard
Cosmo
of that.
Cosmo Curl, yeah. Man, the Cosmo Curl was looking real dignified.
They tried to separate. That's with the longer curl, not the little tight ones.
Right. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Should be feathered.
But, speaking of like myopic, just real narrow narratives, the New York Times, man, you know, I've said this on here before, as much as they say, you know, that's the paper of record, the New York Times be real funny style when it comes to black culture. They mess with it when they want to mess with it, but they take their shots, right? So I'm on Twitter, you know, scrolling through, just, you know, minding my business, reading what's coming. And then the New York Times got a tweet. They say, there are rappers whose music focuses on sex, drugs, and expensive cars.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is 22-year-old Jimothy, who raps about one day earning enough money to shop at upmarket supermarkets and listening to his mother's advice. Then there's a photo of like this white kid, like looks like maybe either some long curls or some type of braids, you know what I mean? But like laid out on the street, like posed out on the street. And it says Jimothy, the title is Jimothy's Flex Looks a Little Different. Man, I did not click on that shit just out of protest, because this is some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? First of all, I don't got no problem with Jimothy outside the fact that my man's name is Jimothy. That's a terrible name. Mm-hmm. But Jimothy might have some okay music. You know what I mean? His music could be okay. Who knows? I just didn't like how they introduced him to the situation by kind of shitting on their perception of the culture of rap. You know what I'm saying? Music focuses on sex, drugs, and expensive cars. Is that as if that's all that motherfuckers in rap are talking about? If rap ain't net, like as rap hasn't been aspirational from the door. You know what I mean? And like listening, maybe not listening to your mother's advices in every bar, but there's definitely the deference of your mom's. You know what I mean? Like, up until maybe Eminem, who was the first one to be like, man, fuck mom. You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I mean, that's a different type of vibe. That's a different culture altogether. But for the most part, you know, shit. You know, smiles every time my face is up in the up in the sauce. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Even though you was a crack fiend, mama, you always was a, you know what I mean? Like, you was a black queen. Like, come on. Like, this ain't no new shit. This ain't no novelty. And it's like, man, you trying to do too much to create this point of difference, this point of departure to get us to, or to get your reader to invest in this white rapper. You know what I'm saying? Who's not like the others. I just thought that shit was super corny, especially to be the New York Times. Like, that shit is, that was some sucker shit.
I mean, but, I think I'm looking it up as you're talking. And it seems that, you know, the Twitter sphere felt the same way as you.
Oh, they went in.
And New York Times had to delete the tweet that said those words that you were talking about. And I don't think Jimmy Thee is white.
He might not be, because I ain't he looked like he could be mixed.
Yeah, he's probably multiracial, but he doesn't look. I mean, he got some nappy ass hair now.
I can't tell if that's a nappy hair or that just a curl with some type of. Pomade. But yeah, now that I'm looking at Jimmy Thee.
But the problem is, he's a British rapper. Which doesn't even qualify. You know what I mean? Like, it don't even. It's not the same shit. You know what I mean? Like, you can't compare the two because it's coming from two different places. It's not the same.
I'm looking at the photo of Jimmy Thee. Yeah, Jimmy Thee might be mixed race.
Yeah, Jimmy Thee might have a black ass daddy.
Yeah, because we only see the moms. Yeah, and the moms even got a little curl pattern. So, you know what I mean? Who knows what the situation is? Yeah, you know, my bad, Jimmy Thee. That name is hilarious, though. But, correction. We deleted an earlier tweet that incorrectly characterized the British rapper. Jimmy Thee's, because that shit ain't even do Jimmy Thee no favors either. Jimmy Thee's like, yo, you got me looking crazy. All my peoples don't even fuck with me based on that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah.
Damn, Jimmy Thee ain't had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, Jimmy Thee ain't had nothing to do with that. And I might go ahead and read about Jimmy Thee.
He's a special needs kid. Some type of special needs.
Okay, shout out to Jimmy Thee.
He just rapping differently. That's all.
Yeah, there you go. And again, like I said, it's not Jimmy Thee that's the problem. It's how the times walked him in the building.
Right.
Jimmy Thee, you know what? You should be more like Jimmy Thee. You know what I mean, man? If you don't get out of here with that.
Wait for Jimmy Thee.
right. Come on. Stop it, Jimmy. You know what I mean? Like, damn. Yeah, man. Anyway. I might even check it out. Speaking of the New York Times, that's when you know a trend is over. So I'm almost waiting to read their big expose or their big coverage about this the Crate Olympics, the Hood Olympics,
the
Crate Challenge. Hashtag Crate Challenge, man. That shit is the biggest micro phenomenon going on this week so far.
Straight out of Cleveland.
Oh, is it out of Cleveland? Is that where it first?
Yeah. That first. Oh, wow, that you first got the video.
Okay,
it didn't never say, but that same group of guys from that first video, one of them tagged the neighborhood Huff, and that's where I spent my summers in that neighborhood. So,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Huff, Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying.
What's your take on the Crate Challenge?
Hey man, I think it was just is a isolated neighborhood incident. Nigga had some crates. The Olympics was going on. You know what I'm saying? Shit, let's see if you can make it up these crates. Now, what happens is that viralness is a drug. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Going viral is a drug. Not just for the people who posted it, but for everybody that wants some of that attention as well. So, you know, once it went viral, then shit, if that's a ticket to going viral, we gonna do it. And that's how I go. You know what I'm saying? That's how all challenges go. If I'm gonna make the explore page doing that shit, or if, you know, people gonna share my shit and retweet my shit, I'm gonna do what they just did.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dangerous ass game.
Super dangerous.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga.
Yeah, no risk, no reward.
I mean, golly, it's gonna be a lot of motherfuckers going to the, you know what I'm saying, to the ER.
Yeah, I seen one broken arm.
Them clavicles, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, somebody posted, you know, black people going to the ER after the Crate Challenge, and then they posted Mike Tyson after his fight. It's like, yeah, I broke my back. Oh, you have a what kind of break in your back? spinal.
Yeah, I remember that. Doctor say I need a Becky-otomy. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Spinal. So, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Everybody out here just doing what it takes to, you know, get some attention. That first one I saw, dog, had an older woman that should not have been on them motherfucking crates, man.
Yeah.
She gonna,
all inclusive.
She gonna regret that shit. She took a tumble.
It's a tough one.
You don't heal as fast when you're 55 as when you're 18. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You should have known better.
What was the incentives? You know what I mean?
Right. What is the What type of clout are you? I guess everybody chasing clout. At clout does it not. Clout has no. There's no age limit for clout chasing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Clout carries everywhere. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What I like about the shit. What I like about it, because I enjoyed it. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, I'm fucking with this. I was like, this is ignorant. This is deliciously ignorant, but it's great, though, too. What I love about it is I love the suspense that is going on. Like, when people are in there, especially when you get to that one top crate where you get to that point of no return,
mm-hmm.
where, like, first of all, to get on that shit, it's like, there's a lot of wiggling, you know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of you start to get unsteady, but then you make it on top of that shit. Now you got there's that moment of deliberation, you know what I'm saying? Because you done made it halfway. You mm-hmm. can you on your way to actually. He could go all the way. She right. could go all. You know what I mean? It's one of those moments where. Everything can happen. The crowd is all around the crate, whether it's a crowd of 300 to about 300. Because I've seen many crowds, and there's plenty of phones out, because this shit could be amazing. Either way, because when they do make it through it, it's only seen like maybe 4 people really make it all the way to the other side, and the response is like buzzer beater enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? People go crazy. I seen the first person I saw was this woman who made it through, and she was like Dame Lillard after he hit that buzzer beater. The way she was real nonchalant and like just fell into the love.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But more often than not, you're gonna go down. You're gonna
right.
tumble and fall. And the way that those crates go, the crates go askew in a way that it's super unpredictable. You don't know which way you're gonna fall. You don't know which crate is gonna be the one to take you out. You do, all them crates is hard as fuck. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And they pointy and sharp, and they could destroy you if you fall the right. You know what I mean? And it's high. Some of these spots, some of these joints is high. Like, you know, mm-hmm. damn near 15 feet off the ground. But it's been the best thing I've seen with crates since the fucking park jams. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the DITC era.
Digging in the crates.
Yeah, man. This shit is. I haven't seen crates in a long time. You know, when vinyl kind of died off, crates kind of died off too. I ain't really seen no crates, but people are finding them.
No, the crates are still serving their real purpose of delivering shit to the stores.
Mm-hmm.
most likely milk and juice and shit like that. But yeah, the crates still doing what they do. Y'all just stop fucking with them.
We stop fucking with the crates too.
I like the hood ingenuity. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the type of shit I grew up around. Like, it wasn't a whole lot of, you know, wasn't no Instagram and a whole lot of, you know, toys involved. You niggas had to make shit up. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, I could imagine how it went, you know. Shit, it's all these crates stacked up back here. Somebody threw back here. Let's put them up. Nigga, then one person said, nigga, I bet you can't climb them bitches. Because, you know, everybody know crates are shaky. Crates are shaky on stable ground, let alone some grass.
Even
you put
brand
more than
new
4 crates together, it's going to be a shaky proposition.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, that's true.
You know, And then somebody, you know, tried it out. It went, you know what I'm saying? They tied it into the Olympics, you know, the Hood Olympics. I wonder if they got any other games they can come up with. It could be a dope game show.
Yeah. There's there's a YouTube sketch on, I would say I posted to the Facebook page, but I probably won't. But there's a good, if you just go to Facebook, I mean YouTube and type in Hood Olympics, there's a sketch. It's a 3-part sketch that's pretty funny. And they got some wild little events. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Jumping, not snitching, instigating. You know what I mean? It's funny. It's some funny shit. Shout out to them.
one of these articles say the Milk Crate Challenge is turning the entire world into Jackass stars.
Who said that? The Times? Is it the Times?
Nah. This is SB Nation.
Okay. And you got then you got the Hotep angle. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you can't just have fun. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, black people want to stack crates, but they don't want to stack bread together. We just want to see each other fall. And I'm like, all right. You know what I mean? Yeah, Dr. Umar type beat.
Right. Then the FDA chimes in. FDA discouraged participating in Milk Crate Challenge.
FDA had to get their shine.
They had to let you know, don't be coming up here filling up these hospitals and shit.
Yeah. Say you fell off something else.
Although we regulate milk, we can't recommend that you try that. Perhaps enjoy a nice glass of 2% and return those crates to the grocery store.
That's funny. That's hilarious. That's a hybrid of being the adult in the room and also clout chasing a little bit too. The FDA need a little bit of that.
But Conan, you know, O'Brien, I mean? he brought him into the conversation. He was like waiting for the FDA approval before I take the milk crate challenge. So they ain't jumping in on their own.
Okay.
No,
nice alley-oop.
Right. Yeah. The shit that trips me out though, because I, you know, saw somebody say, you don't see white people doing the crate challenge. And then you sent me the white people doing the crate challenge.
Right.
And it was foul, man. It was just, that was the epitome of clout chasing, appropriation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Can't have nothing, even the dangerous shit that's self, you know what I'm saying? That's killing ourselves.
Right.
Can't even have that. But then you go in there and I guess he was responding to my man who rode his joint, climbing the crates.
Right. Which is the legend. That's the best one.
Right.
That's my favorite one so far. Like that was a good look. But go ahead.
But you know what I'm saying? It's a lesson in that one. You know what I'm saying? He gave himself something else to focus on as opposed of the fear of falling. And his other focus kept the rest of his body relaxed, so he didn't shake as much. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But any old way, your people, they stack their crates in a gym on stable ground. You know what I'm saying? He wanted, what he did, what he ate something on the way up and lift some weights. Like, nigga, you on stable ground. Put that shit on some grass, nigga. And I don't know, leveled ass concrete floor. Put it on some grass where everything's unpredictable. But it was just like, you know what I'm saying? Hey, guys, you know what I'm saying? You're not doing nothing. I can do that better than you guys. And then you start off with, you know what I'm saying, a whole stable ground. And, you know what I mean? All that shit is like I said, is a microcosm of white privilege.
Nah, I feel you. Yeah. High production value. You know what I'm saying? Basically, you know, minimizing the struggle of it all.
Right.
You know what I mean? But still getting those eyeballs. You know what I'm saying? Co-op the whole shit.
Right.
Yeah, but that seemed like the people saw that and they kind of, I think it's too, sometimes you could be too early for the appropriation to where, like, when it's fresh, they like, nah, not yet. Nah, we ain't fucking with you. Don't even think about it. We ain't giving you that. You ain't got it yet. We still fucking with this. Take it easy. Go ahead with that shit. They was killing them a bit in the comments, it seemed. So, anyway.
Fuck shit.
What's good, though, man? What's up with you? What else is going on with you, man? I feel like I've been blabbing.
Nah, we've been blabbing.
There you go.
Nah, man, I'm just out here, man, plotting out my next steps, man. I was, I had an assignment where I had to write. I hadn't had to write in a long time. Not not right in no real way where you, other people gonna judge it. You know what I'm saying? And so I got it into this writer's block, and I didn't know how to shake it. You know, I procrastinated. I did some things, and then I just had to really get it done because it was, you know, I was about to start looking stupid. So just had to sit down and just fucking bang through it, and that shit was terrible. It was terrible. But as I got through it and got into that point where it became terrible, then it became beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Then it's all started to fall into place. And, you know, what I wanted to ask is, you know, I know you have to write a lot. Your career is writing and shit. What do you do when you have a block?
Keep writing. Just keep writing. And then, you know what? Okay, because... this funny, you hear the little, there's like, and I was trying to find it as you were talking, there's like a little idiom where it was like, the cure for writer's block is writing, or some shit like that.
Right,
like,
right, you know right.
what I mean? Which makes it sound real pat. But I think the cure for writer's block, from what I've seen, I don't know if it's a cure for writer's block, but what helps is, and I've spoken about this before, I got this from Seinfeld, it's just like, have an endpoint. You know what I mean? Like, have, say, yo, I'm gonna write for 2 hours, or I'm gonna write for 1 hour. But at 1 hour, I'm gonna stop writing. You know what I'm saying? So like, all you doing for that 1 hour, that 2 hours, is you're sitting in front and you writing, and you don't go nowhere. If you gotta get a little cup of coffee or something to drink or whatever, have all that shit set up for you within that hour or whatever designated amount of time it is. Put the alarm on and just dedicate yourself to that. Now, you might not write shit, or it might feel like some bullshit, but at least if you just stay committed to that task and not look anywhere, not like, yo, let me go online and maybe that'll help my writing, or that might spark something, or let me, you know what I mean? Because that's the other thing. People say, I got to research. Yeah, that's the death. I got to do some research. Let me go on Instagram, see if I could stoke some creative energy and all that. Next thing you know, you're distracted. So as long as you just stay focused on that shit, put that hour in, trust that process, you might yield nothing or just a little something or whatever, and don't self-edit. You know what I'm saying? As you writing, write whatever the fuck comes to mind. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, like I said, sometimes it be fine. It feels like I'm like doing a witness statement. Like I'm snitching on myself. Like sometimes I just be itemizing what I did that day just to get into practice of writing something that maybe to, you know, trigger some shit rather than try to get in the whole thing of I'm about to come up with some profound prose.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just write what the fuck comes to your mind, to your head, and then come back later, edit, you know what I'm saying? Later on, or next time you write, read what you wrote, and maybe that'll kickstart some more shit. And I think the more you write, the easier it is to write. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, it's just different when you have to turn that shit in. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, when you're writing for yourself, yeah, you can sit there 2 hours, write whatever.
Right.
And when you gotta show somebody that shit and that shit is gonna be judged, you're like, oh shit, let me make sure my prose is correct, my commas, well, I mean, sentence even structure
still, even still, at some point you're gonna have to present. You know what I'm saying? Like whether it's you writing material, you gotta take that shit to the stage and they like, nah. And you gotta go rewrite. You know what I'm saying? Or if you sending it to an editor, they like, yeah, I like the premise, but I don't like this and this. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's always that you can't escape that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, unless you just one take hove, which I don't always believe. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, everything.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what
I'm saying? Yeah. But even one take hove has rehearsed that bitch in his head over and over and over before he came to the studio.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, or, you know, or he's drawing from different pieces that he's remembered and piece them together, yeah. and then he does his thing. But right. not to take away from the legend of One Take Hold.
No, no doubt. I mean, he definitely inspired a lot of people to put some bullshit out because they just feel like they only need one take. They shouldn't write no bunch of other things. Everybody can't be Hov. Just understand that. But I say this because that's the other extension of like writer's block, right? Especially like when you start to have to let someone else see that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's under review or under someone else's judgment or whatever. But even still, it is what it is. And if you're writing for somebody, at that point it's collaborative on a certain level. If you're writing for a project, you know what I'm saying, you're going to have to get their take on it for the most part anyway. And obviously, you know, the fact of the matter is, more often than not, the reason they ask you to write on the project is they see something in your writing or in your presentation that they fuck with anyway. So mm-hmm. trust that. You know what I mean? Like, and the idea could be raw when you present it. And there's super vulnerability with that, but I think that shit helps you become a better writer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The more willing you are to put yourself out there, you know what I mean? Be like, yo, this is what I got. You know what I mean? Let me know what you think. And you take that criticism, you know what I'm saying? And then you refine it or whatever. Or maybe that shit is dope. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Maybe they like it. And then, you know what I mean? It's just what it is.
Word. Yeah. So I was, you know, struggling with it. Then I got my zone. Got it out. But, you know, again, I don't know how good it was or how not good it was. I put it out there and shit. Not yet. I haven't gotten the feedback yet. But the one thing about it is, you know, I'm not scared of feedback. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm not scared of the criticism part. It's just you want to put your best foot forward. Right. When you turn the shit, it's just like with any project, an edit, a shoot. You know, niggas is judging your shot. You know what I'm saying? You're judging all of what you put together. So everything you do is being judged. It's just when you're doing it, you like, okay, let me make sure when they judging, they gonna judge this shit from a motherfucking, you know what I'm saying, top perspective, nigga. Right. You're gonna have to be, you know what I'm saying, pulling teeth to find something wrong with this shot, nigga, or this, you know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying? So then you put it into play and you see what comes back, and that's what I'm waiting on. You know what I mean? Because it's, you know, right. one of them scenarios where you got some big timers looking at what you're talking about,
right?
You know what I mean? Right. And it's like, okay, let's see what these big timers talking about.
Right. That's the win. That's the win off top. Just you know what I mean? You know, and then obviously you want to kill it, but shit, mm-hmm. the fact that the opportunity is there, you know what I mean? There's obviously some recognition of.
Right.
You know what I mean? No, you didn't get there by luck or by chance. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
I say what I noticed, this is on just on some other shit, but like one thing that I admire, and this next level shit, not even next level shit, but it's ill, like when you go into a writer's room and people are writing, like pitching jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time, and I can't remember this kid's name. I don't think I've ever seen him before. But we was in this like writer's room. It was probably six of us. And everybody's pitching jokes. You know what I mean? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a comedian, you want to have a good joke. Especially your first joke that you throw out amongst everybody. You want to let them know. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So you might be reluctant. But there was this one cat. I don't know if he did comedy or not, but he was a comedy writer. And he would just throw shit out. And if the shit was funny, because this shit went from, oh, that shit is hilarious, to, yeah. But he would throw them jokes out with the same level of enthusiasm each time. That shit mm-hmm. is a talent in itself. Like, he was just committed to the process. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They always say there's no judgment in a brainstorm. You know what I'm saying? But, like, he like when you see it sometimes, like it was almost liberating to see that shit. Like, oh, this cat don't give a fuck, and not in a way that was like reckless or, you know, haphazard. It was just like, nah, this is what we're here for. You know what I mean? We're going to be in this room for 8 hours and we're going to be throwing jokes back and forth. What about this? Nah, all right. What about this? Mm-hmm. Nah, all right. And like the shit never wavered. I was like, oh shit. That shit had the same level of calm as my man rolling that blunt during the crate challenge. You know what I'm saying? It was just a zen zone.
Right. No doubt. Shit. That's why, you know, I guess that takes repetition. You know, a lot of times your work don't bring you to the same place a lot of times in my world. My work doesn't bring me to the same place a lot of times. So it's always a lot of new things. A lot of okay. But I guess once you resolve into where you want to go, and you have to write your way there. You have to be able to explain your vision. You have to be able to talk your way through it and be able to deliver that vision for other people to understand in order for them to help you grow it or get it there. And that's a lot of, you know, crafting and writing and redrafting and, you know what I'm saying, rewriting. And you know, the more you get in the exercise of that, then the better you probably will be at that. So, you know, I'm just taking my crack at it and we gonna see.
Did you miss it? Did you miss writing?
Nah, when I got to doing it, it felt hard. It was like, shit, what was I ever thinking? You know what I'm saying? Like, shit. Who can I hire to do this?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But for me, what it is that when the idea isn't clear, the writing is hard. You know what I'm saying? And it's not easy to get to a place where you got the clear idea that matches what you want it to be. And it's like, oh shit, yeah, that's it. It's not hard. It's not always easy to get that, ooh, that's it right there, that'll kill.
Right.
But once you get there, then the writing becomes easy. So it's probably not the writing, it's the organizing your thoughts to make them fit your vision. Mm-hmm. And then the writing becomes easy once you do that. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I took a walk, I, you know, took a drive, went and got a car. I did all the procrastinating shit you could do. You know what I'm saying? Went to the pool, changed my environment.
Right.
And then finally got to pouring out. And then it was like, okay, cool. And I don't know if it's the best shit ever, but that shit got done. Which, once you get feedback, then you could be like, okay, I know how I can feel. Oh, shit, that's what you're talking about then.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really when you don't know what nobody else is thinking, just you.
Right.
Then it's like my old boss. I was in journalism school at FAMU, the illustrious Florida A&M University. I had to do a practicum, like an internship, in the PR space. When PR is nothing but writing and relationships, but at the level that I was at, it's nothing but writing, and The guy who ran the PR department at FAMU, Mr. Eddie Jackson, and he always say, every time you get to struggling with writing or your deadline be coming up, he's like, hey, you need that by 5:00. You're like, ah. And he already be down the hall, and he'll yell back, writing is fighting. Writing is fighting, Muhammad. Like, damn, writing is fighting. And that's what that should be, boy. You be fighting your thoughts to get them right. But once you do, you know what I mean? You could change your life.
Yeah, you could write a whole new reality.
Exactly. And that's all it be.
That's all it is. That's all it is. You know what I mean? And then shit. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, that's how strong it is. You know, that's how strong that shit is. You can write a whole new reality just off the strength of the pen. Like, damn, this shit, you know. That's why it's always cool, like, when I've been hearing people talk about how they came up with the idea for something, especially something that turns out to be something big or impactful. And oftentimes it comes from, like, a real modest idea, or, you know what I mean? Like, yo, well, the thought was this, that, and the other thing, and the next thing you know, it turns into this and that, and the reason we did that is because we felt like this, and you're like, wow. You know, like, because, you know, that's the thing, like, it all starts, it's all humble. The beginnings is often always humble, you know, like, it is. It starts as a seed, and then that should have grown into a big ass tree.
Mm-hmm.
Vamping. I need to edit that out.
This the whole shit is a vamp,
nah,
nigga.
No,
this is
saying,
what the hell we doing? It's Vamp City, nigga.
Vamp City, man. Fall is coming, man. What you thinking?
Man, fall. You know what I'm saying? I got my thoughts, and then there's the Delta variant.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I'm
man.
Saying? So, I mean, fall could be an amazing time. You know what I mean? If everything is open and everything gets to go down. But now it's kind of like, all right, what is it going to be? You know what I'm saying? Are we headed for another lockdown? Should a nigga invest, you know what I'm saying, in a fall wardrobe that a nigga ain't investing in the last 2 years? Or should a nigga invest in some old PPE? You know?
Right.
It's like, shit, is, you know, it's a hard one to go with. It's like, how you gonna roll out? Cause, you know, this the world back open. It's the first real fall that this shit, you know, about to be some activity going on. How you coming out, you know? And it's like, I don't know, like, shit, do you go get some new shit and then shit close up and then you be home in the mirror with the shit trying to go live on Instagram? Yeah, we going live, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean.
trying to get that in-season pop.
Right.
I don't want that shit to look like no outlet shit in 2023.
Right. Yeah, damn.
I paid full price for this shit.
Yeah, shit, yeah. Y'all going to get a full view of this shit all fall.
Yeah, man. A lot of TBD energy out here, man.
Right.
Nobody really knows.
Right. And that's
curious
tough.
About, speaking of PPE, what's your mask game like? Because now that we done been through this shit, damn near, what, 16 months or something like that, I feel like at this point, you know, everybody's kind of got a groove to their PPE, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's some real questions like, all right, how do you, like, what's your, when I say what's your mask game, I mean, do you have, like, your formal mask? You know what I mean? You go out, your fly mask. Then do you have, like, your beater mask? You know what I mean? Or how often do you wear a mask till you flip it? Like, you know, they might be disposable, but, like, how often... How many days are you diligent about one where it's done and you just tearing through boxes of masks?
One wear and done ain't never been it for me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You get about a three-piece, three-four-piece.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times, it depends. A lot of times, you really, at this point... You're pulling out your mask to go into the store. You know what I'm saying? You pull up to the coffee shop. Okay, jump out the car, run in, get your coffee. You say mask only. You put your mask on, get your coffee. Like, that type of the one like that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That gets, you know, probably a week, you know what I'm saying? A week run. That's the one in the car that you just grab, hop out, go into the store, do your thing. Like, the one that you're pulling out the house, that might only, you know what I'm saying, it might get 2-3 burns, you know? But it's not like in the beginning of the pandemic, like, where you had that bitch on no matter what. You know what I mean? You, as soon as you walked outside, you know what I'm saying, you masked up all the way till you get back in.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you ain't putting that much wear and tear on your mask. So I would say my real mask probably gets about a 3-burn run.
Mm-hmm.
And then before I switch and grab another one out of the box.
Gotcha. Yeah, sounds about right. It'll feel a little flimsy.
Yeah, once your masks need to be ironed, then it's time to it's time to put that bitch up. This nigga mask wrinkled. This nigga needs starch on his shit.
right. Send that to the cleaners.
K95 ain't got the crease no more.
Nah, it don't even got the numbers on it. That shit is done for. I don't think I've ever had. I had one N95 at the top. The rest of them, I ain't 95'd in a while. And I'm happy that I made it through. Yeah, no, I got the disposy. Yeah. I got the disposy, then I had a cloth. Mm-hmm. I had one N95 up top. I had a couple N95s. And I was since I only had a couple of them, I was real scarce with them.
Right.
I was trying to stretch them. And then there was a time when it was hard to find the N95s and all that shit.
Yeah, they was online. Hard in the beginning.
So I had to get what I could get, the disposables. And I got like a 5-pack of these kind of cloth masks they probably was the best fitting mask that I had.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, now that fall's coming and, you know, we've been through a whole nother thing. I am, you know, like I, you know, that is in the conversation of the back to school, quote unquote, you know, fits, new masks. And I might explore some new masks. I see these K95s that a lot of people were rocking. Mm-hmm. I'm debating on copping a box of those or whatever. But, you know, yeah, we definitely are not abandoning the mask in 2021.
Nah, that ain't happening.
But, yeah.
You know, I had the 95s in various forms. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Once they became semi available, copped a bunch, then, you know, now they're more readily available. I'm not sure if they real N95s, I don't know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know how this shit go out here. Could be getting fleeced, but hey, whatever. Get them, put them on deck, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you got a family, you know, like, you know, it's like you got to have all that shit on deck. Mm-hmm. Make sure you responsible, everybody's mask, you know what I'm saying? So, you need to make sure them shit's on deck. And then, for me, I rocks mine, you know what I mean? When I try, you know, going in somewhere, definitely. I like to feel the breeze when I'm outside. But sometimes, you know, if it get a little too crowded, me and my son went to they were showing a movie in Home Depot backyard. And we went out there and, you know, it was outside, but it was too many people. So I put my shit on, you know what I'm saying? For the time we was there, and then it started raining. I was like, it's a good time to get the fuck up out of here. You know what I'm saying? And that was cool. But, you know, I play it by ear. If it get to be too many motherfuckers, I have my shit on. Other than that, I be trying to be free until I go inside on somewhere.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we still in limbo. The whole, you know, there's a lot of stop starting and going on.
Right.
That's a hell of a question, you know? You ask the people, are y'all gonna go ahead and cop some new gear this fall, or are you gonna wait this out and do some upcycling? take it back.
Yeah, good time to pre-invest in spring on their ass.
right.
Come out next summer fresh as fuck.
Exactly. Oh shit, man. See, Shikari got dusted.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Yeah. Nah, I mean, that's just a, you know, I look at it like this. It might be a blessing, you know what I'm saying, that she got dusted, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I've said it on here, you know what I mean? You know, you got put on the sideline for reefer. It wasn't so bad. It's not performance enhancing, but it was against the rules. All right, you got caught out there. You had to sit down. You know what I'm saying? But She had a lot of talk to her game, which, you know, I'm not opposed to athletes being audacious and talk they talk. You know what I'm saying? But I think she talked her talk against the rest of the sport, not just in her behalf. You know what I mean? It was kind of like, since I can't be there, y'all boycott. Fuck the rest of them motherfuckers who out here worked hard and got to the Olympics. You know what I mean? Just me. I'm not there, so fuck it. Don't watch that shit. You know, it's just like, come on now. I mean, everybody had the same rule book. You know what I mean? Everybody had the same work to do. Now these people are here trying to get their shit done. I want to see some of this shit. You know what I mean? Because these people, like, them Olympians, man, that's a amazing feats of, you know what I mean, physicality in a human. You know what I mean? So I wanted to watch that shit no matter what. So, because you're not there, don't be talking down on everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Don't, when the race come, talk about, you know, don't y'all miss me now? You know, because, you know, the Jamaicans won at the Olympics. Don't y'all miss me now? Well, we don't know if we miss you because we haven't seen you in the Olympics, you know? So, you know, I think that the loss puts her in a position of, okay, let me focus on what needs to be focused on. And that's this running and getting, being in the state of mind to do this shit at the highest level, not on just on some ego shit. And then you running off of ego when these girls, they've been running against the top competition in the world. You know what I'm saying? They still on Olympic time. You know what I'm saying? They still got adrenaline from the Olympics running through their veins. You know, you coming up off of, you know, a lot of shit couch talk, a lot of clout, a lot of, you know what I'm saying? You riding on clout and they riding on, you know what I'm saying, adrenaline.
Right.
And that shit showed. So yeah. I bet she prepared next time. I think she will have a better showing. You know what I'm saying? But the thing that came out of that whole shit, it was this whole Jamaican versus American beef. You know what I'm saying? And like on the social media, you know, the Jamaicans are the best in the world. And no track printers. Da, 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 da. But okay. In the 100, yes, the Jamaicans are killing that shit. But there's other, you know, lymphs that Americans are killing that shit. Hurdle, you know, Dalil Muhammad went out there and killed that shit. You know, yeah. So it's other places now. It ain't just that one race. But yes, but so they going in now, you know, and then she lost. Like the last, like she was the last person. Oh, they went in, and it was Jamaican Twitter versus American Twitter, and I was conflicted because I recently found I was Jamaican. So I'm looking at the argument, like, you know what, you know what I'm saying? Them Jamaican show was fast. You know? I am not mad at Shelly Ann and none of them, you know.
Yes, yeah, that's your people, that's your family, sister.
that's how when I caught myself looking at the argument. I caught myself, you know what I'm saying, in the middle. But, you know what I'm saying, I'm definitely all Black American, you know how I do. But, and I definitely already felt like old girl had talked herself. She had talked herself into a hole. It was an unwinnable hole. Even if she had won, you know what I'm saying, it would put that, it's that mark that be on you that is hard for some people to root for you ever, because you talk that shit in the way you talked it. Yeah. But you know, she gonna be all right. She younger than a motherfucker. She doing what young people do. She ain't got no media training yet and all that. She running off of pure instinct, you know what I mean? Which is refreshing to a point. But again, when you talk that shit, you know, you gotta back that shit up. And and that sport, you know what I mean, it ain't no easy thing to back that shit up all the time, especially when you haven't been in the momentum of it.
Right. And you know, we can't act as though racing, especially just running on your feet, going against somebody, that shit is so closely tied with shit talking. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like from the beginning, from when you first realize you fast, you talk shit. I'm a dust this motherfucker. You can't keep up with me. What did you do? Because the whole thing is the whole exercising at all is propelling yourself forward, like literally launching yourself ahead of everybody. So sometimes that shit got to start with your mind. Sometimes that shit got to start with some fucking some shit talk. A lot of hot air. I forget. You know, it's
until you get on the track. Until you get on the track. I think in the hood, yes. But by the time you get to the Olympic level of the shit, the shit is decided by so little of time, you know what I'm saying? Fractions of seconds, that it takes a whole lot of discipline every step of the way. And coming from working with Sonya Richards Ross, who's one of the fastest women in the 400, you can tell just by their the way they carry themselves because of the years of training that you know, some people, like, you know, like me, if you're trying to get better at something, you taking major leaps, like, fuck it, but when you're trained that you're only changing fractions of seconds, the difference between bronze and gold is fractions. So you're focusing on the details of shit. It ain't no longer the shit talk is out the window, because now it gets down to the mechanics and the nuts and bolts. It's how you jump out the block, how your strides are, when your motherfucking shit really kicks in, when that, when your I learned this shit doing a story on track. Your testosterone kicks in at a certain point. Like if you watch these races and they look like they be going one speed, and then all of a sudden they going a whole another speed. That's like when the testosterone actually kicks in. You know what I'm saying? And that's why, like, certain testosterone levels they ban, because it's gonna, it kicks in at a different rate than, you know, a normal woman or whatever. So so for a man it kicks in at a certain place, and then for a woman it kicks in at a certain place. And and again, if you ain't been constantly pushing that shit and working on the fine dynamics of that shit, you could find yourself last, just like she did. Just like with Sydney McLaughlin, who who the 400 hurdles who I talked about, who won the gold. She runs against Dalila Muhammad all the time. They like the battle between those two. She changed her coach 6 months before the Olympics, which is like crazy. Like people thought she was crazy. But whatever that coach did, they tweaked something about her mechanics. Oh, they say they taught her how to jump the hurdle with either leg. You know what I'm saying? He said that she needed to take shorter, she needed to take less steps in between hurdles than she was taking. Just little fine stuff like that. And she dusted the world record. You know what I'm saying? Twice. Since she been fucking with a new coach. So nothing changed with her except for the details and
calibration.
Right. And so when you get to that level of track, the talking shit is a very minute part of what needs to happen to win. And that's just from my Olympic studies. I'm no Olympic professional or nothing, but I did do a deep dive on, you know, some of this shit as I was watching it, and that's some of the interesting points. Because when I was watching her in that race, it looked like her shit didn't kick in as fast as everybody else's kicked in, and by the time it did, she was she couldn't catch up. They was pulling away.
It also looked like that wig was undermining her aerodynamics. I don't know if it was just because she was in last place, but watch that shit again. That wig look like it's a lot going on. Like that shit, yeah, man. She might want to talk to her coach about that shit, or her hairdresser, see what they can do to calibrate that situation.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, man. Shit. I was like, aw, damn.
But I think, you know what I'm saying? I think that if she takes this loss in stride, comes back with just, you know what I'm saying, fully loaded, you know what I mean? And getting down to business, you know. And you know, and another thing about talking shit is you also give your competitors something to fuel them. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's gasoline. Yeah. And you saw that shit when they was when she was trying to do her little interview. And they was walking past like the girls who just they just jumped you, and you telling the principal at this point, and they walking past like,
yeah.
Talking all happened. That shit.
Oh, that's a camera? Let's walk past that camera because we winners. We winners. We definitely won that shit. One, two, and three.
Shelly Ann, she did it. She didn't even win it, but she was the one smiling and made the big news. And you know, so it's for me, it's fun. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This whole fundamental Black American Twitter versus the world is a funny place too. Yeah. It's like, man, y'all niggas fight every day about something. Like, is it a day we don't have to fight about nothing?
It's a sport. It's a sport. Twitter fighting going to be in the Olympics in 20 years. Yeah. Flatbacks and, you know what I mean, ratios and all that other crazy shit. Yeah, man.
Word.
Oh, shit, man. I think we reached the finish line. How's that for
gold medal?
There it is. We're done.
Word.
We are done. We can jump this hurdle with any leg.
Nigga, shut the fuck up. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here. We good. Feels good. Feels good. Nice 130 on the dot. We just passed. You know what I'm saying? I know we were supposed to get it to Raising Canaan, but there was no Raising Canaan this last week. So
nah, that was disappointing.
Yeah, they should let motherfuckers know.
Oh, man, golly.
You know what I mean? Like, give a motherfucker a heads up. I did start watching this show called Heels on Stars, like a wrestling show. It's pretty interesting, but I'll talk about that at another time.
Bird.
But, yeah, I think Razor Kanan will be back next week, so we could chop it up about that and whatever else comes to mind. But you got anything else you want to say to the people on the way out?
Ah, man, that's it, man. Thank you guys for joining us again this week. You know, we appreciate your energy and the vibes. You know, positive vibes always come our way from the listeners. So, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to y'all.
Love the tune in. You know what I mean? And shit. Till next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.